Wrestling, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. This is one of our bonus Patreon episodes. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. If you are listening to this on our regular feed, it means you're getting the preview. So become a patron. You get all this awesome bonus content. Anyway, let's get into it. We have an awesome guest today, Mr. Thomas Middleditch.
Hey, Tommy Hollywood here.
This is Tommy Hollywood. you know him as the star of Silicon Valley and the Macho Man Randy Savage of Verizon. snap into a Verizon.
Yeah.
did that ever cross your mind, something like that? Like, I was thinking
that
like,
I might cross-brand a classic WWE with telecommunications.
Absolutely, yeah. Did that ever cross your mind? No, I mean, you ever think about like I've been in commercials and like, but now you're like a spokesman.
I'm a spokesman of a brand,
and do you ever think like how? Is it amazing how effective Macho Man was? Like, still to this day. He is like known as the Slim Jim guy. Snap into a Slim Jim is like alive and well.
But I mean, only to a certain demographic that, like, if you're a certain age, that you only got a smaller amount of commercials and you got them often.
Yeah.
I think now I'd be hard pressed to remember any. What's a commercial now that you like, oh, that? And thinking I'll remember it also in 20 years.
Oh, maybe Flow?
Flow, right? That's a campaign that's been going for like 10 years, though.
A long time.
A specific... Oh, I guess we're not even...
The Sonic guys?
Which is, Dave and TJ?
And TJ?
The old Verizon guy.
The old Verizon guy, now Sprint?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Traitor.
Yeah.
Burn him! Yeah, I mean, do you ever...
I think about him every day. I wake up and I go, not today, pal. It's my time.
Yeah, do you? I mean, has he ever been brought up? They've been like, look, is there anything in your
Only
contract?
Only by others. No one in Verizon.
Is there anything in your contract? Like, yo, they look you in the. Donnie Verizon comes up to you.
Donnie Verizon. Donnie V. What's going on, Donnie V?
He comes up to you and he's like, look me in your eyes. You're not going to fuck me, right?
Not like Sprint guy over there.
Yeah. Do you hear me now?
Grabbing me by the lapels.
Absolutely.
No, none of that business.
So, Thomas, the reason I had you in here. You go by Thomas, right?
Yeah, everyone calls me Thomas or Tommy Improv or Tolly Hollywood.
Yeah. Because I've never heard anyone be like, hey, Tom.
Yeah. Oh, everyone I grew up with calls me Tom.
Really?
But in a thick BC Canadian accent. So be like, hey, Tom. Like,
really?
T-A-H-W-M. And I can't stand it for some reason. I mean, I don't can't stand it. It just reminds me of just... being a small town kid, which I like, but also it's now I'm a big city slicker and I deals.
Verizon, Sprint.
You're playing them off each other.
Yeah. Like, hey,
I dangle that Sprint carrot right in front of Donnie Verizon.
Donnie Verizon.
Vinny, what do we call him?
No, Donnie Verizon, man.
Donnie V.
Donnie V. yeah, he's like, you tell them about our network. anyway, did you make a conscious decision to go by Thomas ever?
At one point, I was like, you know what? I've always enjoyed full names. Like, I'll call any Liz Elizabeth, and I'll do it right to her face.
I don't care what the repercussions are. Hurley, you got a slap from Liz Hurley.
Yeah.
She got to slap you in the face.
I'll give you a good full name. So I thought, oh well, you know, since I better live by my own creed and die by my own credence, I'll go by Thomas.
Yeah,
but I don't care.
I like Thomas better than Tom personally. I think that's why I bring it up.
Tom's a little familiar, and there's only about 3,000 people I've been that intimate with.
You're a real slut.
So I'm talking about gazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just eye contact.
You're an eye contact.
And if you say eye contact, 3,000 is actually I would argue that's pretty low.
That is pretty low. What about contact with butt cheeks?
Ass to ass? Rec Room for a Dream style?
Yeah.
Ass to ass. That's what I want to see.
So the reason I have you in here is because you're the man, but also because you texted me over the Christmas break, I believe.
Yes.
And you texted, and it was a pretty long text. Uh-huh. It was a very well thought out text, very curated. And I'm always impressed by that because I am the guy who like fires off a sentence at a time.
Oh, I can't stand that. And your phone goes,
I go, bam, 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 bam. And no one's ever called me out on it.
I know when it's you texting me because I'll hear like, bam, 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 in the other room. And I'm like, that's
the dudes, exclamation point. I got an idea.
All right, fuck you guys. Keep working the board, jabronis. Okay? So anyway, keep these fucking stoolies in their place. Okay? No, but...
Oh, you're cracking a beer right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I crack a fucking 1% whoop-ass, a LaCroix. I already cracked this one.
It landed perfectly. This guy's a stud. He's a baby face.
You can text any way you want.
Absolutely. Yes. So for those of you, since this is an audio medium, I threw the LaCroix can and landed perfectly standing up.
LaCroix.
Okay. Oh, yeah, sorry. Couple of Frenchies. I forgot.
It does sicken me when people say LaCroix.
I mean, I think it's fun as a thing.
I agree.
But as long as you're aware that that's the funny thing, but if you don't know, it is LaCroix.
So anyway, I didn't know. I think it's a LaCroix. I'm gonna keep going with that. I see IX looks like a Y to me. I take the I and I put it. I connect it to the bottom of the X, and then
I take the ferry home to Long Island, and it's LaCroix.
Okay, so Thomas, you texted me you said you're like, hey, quickly. It's like quickly.
Yeah.
Give me the rundown on these matches. What media do you have that can sum up these matches? Because I want to show them to my brothers and my family.
My wife and her. My, I guess, brother-in-law and her sister. I wanted to show them because I really enjoyed. I thought they might like the Hogan Macho Man Elizabeth saga.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, of all the kind of I keep wanting to say FE.
You can do it here.
Stories.
You will get sued if you say WWF here. Donnie WWF.
Oh, Donnie.
Yeah, Donnie Worldwide Fund. You know Donnie Worldwide Fund?
He's a mogul.
Okay, well, vintage, I don't know, classic, whatever, golden era, whatever you want to call it, WWE. I thought that was a storyline that they could maybe sort of grasp or get into in order to, like, watch grown men throw each other around.
Right.
I thought it was great, and it was somewhat recently when I found them all online and I was watching Warrior versus Macho Man.
Oh, Macho.
For the retirement match.
Yeah.
And Warrior beats him and Macho Man reconnects with Elizabeth and people are crying. Elizabeth's crying. People in the audience are crying. And I was, as a kid, I wouldn't have really picked up on it. I would have been like, that was a cool match. I like when they slammed each other.
Yeah.
But then I was like, Jesus, like people are buying into the narrative super hard and B, like well done on the performances to bring some tears into the whole
Absolutely.
Deal. Like they are acting the ever loving stuffing out of this.
Have you watched have you seen the match made in heaven, the match made in hell? Like not that moment, but have you seen the proposal, the Macho Man Elizabeth proposal moment?
I mean, back in the day?
It's yeah. I think I have an audio clip of it. It's so funny. Like when Macho Man asks her, he's like, wait, I might have it. I have some sound drops here.
Elizabeth! Will you marry me?
Her response.
Elizabeth?
Are you ready?
Come on, Lizzie.
Oh, yeah.
Bless the late 80s, early 90s. Bless it all to hell.
I love it because it's like she's like he's such a character.
Uh-huh.
He's like, oh yeah, brother. Yeah. And then she's just like. Like, she's an innocent lady voice that's just like,
oh, yeah. Doing my best. ass.
Yeah. Like, I'm not comfortable. I'm not a show person.
That was fantastic.
Just while we're on this later on, because we covered this on another episode, so that's why I have these awesome drops. But like Macho Man, they go to their wedding reception at SummerSlam 91, and then he's opening the presents, and you could tell like Mach is like, he's super loose, you know, and he gets a blender. Just listen to this.
Got a blender, you're supposed to wait.
He's just like, he's just like, they're opening the present. This is a good ribbon. He's dictating everything. Got a blender.
Well, the man's allowed to be excited. Look at all the fruit smoothies he's going to be able to make.
Can
Stay
you
cut.
Bring any of that energy to these Verizon commercials? Can we get any Mach in there? I
mean, I'll do my best.
The next time, you know, you're behind the big Verizon thing, and then they just go, you just, someone's like, is the Verizon have the biggest LTE, whatever? And then you
largest,
go,
most reliable 4G LTE network in America. Yeah. Yes, go.
This is why I don't book these. the amount of time I've had to say that and that I don't remember it. And then you just go, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then everyone in America will mentally reference that clip because they all know it.
Yeah, totally. Okay, anyway.
Well, that story.
Sorry to bring your let's move off the commercial stuff before I say something that's bad. But anyway, so you text me about all those matches.
Yeah.
And did you watch those matches as a kid? Like, what's your relationship with wrestling as a child?
Well, as a kid, I probably didn't see a lot of those as they came out because I was never allowed to get a pay-per-view, especially for wrestling. That was like absolutely off the table.
Right.
And none of my friends really either had the money or were as into wrestling as I was, so they didn't really get it. At least my friends at that time, at little boy's age. So I watched Monday Night Main Event. Saturday Night Main Event. And then it was Monday Night Raw. So I watched Saturday Night Main Event. You know, got whatever I could out of it. I've got the, what are the, Marion Jannetty and Shawn Michaels?
The Rockers.
I got Legion of Doom. I loved the tag team stuff. But also, tag team was kind of big in the 80s, I feel like. Maybe it was bigger than it is now.
It was bigger, but also I think kids dig tag teams a lot.
Yeah.
I think, like, there's something about tag teams that really attract kids.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think it's like, I like friendship, too.
Yeah, exactly. And if I'm hurt, I can tag the other guy and he'll help me.
Absolutely. Because, I now as an adult, I'm like, you know, I'm like, you know, it's like, yeah, I watch it. I'm like, a tag team match. I'm like, all right, I'll fast forward.
Yeah.
I'm like, I like the solo guys.
You know? I think now when you know more about the politics and like the driving of storylines and kind of like, oh, they're probably pairing this guy up because they're just going to see if anything sticks or whatever. And you know that people are trying out shticks desperately to maintain relevancy in the league, in the federation, in the entertainment.
Now it's the entertainment.
You know, so now it's maybe a little bit, you see too much binary in it. But like, I mean, I also feel though there were acts that were completely dedicated to tag team, like Legion of Doom and Demolition and Bushwhackers. I mean, none of those guys were ever going to go solo.
No, absolutely. And actually now, I know you don't currently watch wrestling, but I'm wearing the Young Bucks shirt. These guys are like,
are those like those Skid dudes? No.
What
are they kind of like, are they like a bit like, Skid is a very Canadian term for,
yeah,
like,
yeah, man. Skids? Can you speak American?
No.
Finally, someone's speaking my language.
I know.
Do we need
Skids
to build that,
like,
northern wall?
Are like white trash. Skids are like dirt bag, white trash. Wasn't there like a,
are you
90s,
talking about Mosh and Thrasher?
And like, maybe I am.
Yeah, you're talking about the Headbangers?
Oh, yeah, a little bit. And there was also like a couple of greasy, like punk guys.
They're like kind of punk, like Street Kids in Distress is what it stands for, right? And like, I picture them with like mohawks. Have you seen Free Willy, the kids that he hangs out with at the start?
I mean, I have, but I don't know if I can recall the scene you're thinking
of.
Very
neat. You don't watch it? You haven't watched it?
Minute 42.
All right. Cool it, Canucks. All right, so I don't know. What does a Canuck mean? Is that offensive?
No.
The C word.
Yeah. Okay,
so you like
Canadian
the Young Bucks.
Racism is low on the fixing the world.
Yeah.
It's low on the priority list right now.
We're a Canadian race.
You can't blame me. Yeah. But like these Young Bucks, these guys, they're like, actually they're like they're like two kind of, I think they're like religious actually. They're like two brothers, born and raised in like Rancho Cucamonga out here.
Oh, really?
And they're like,
is that their deal? Are they like, we're gonna wrestle you, and if you submit, you have to believe in Christ, young
No,
bucks.
They never talk about being religious. I shouldn't even have said that because I'm blurring the lines of kayfabe and it's and their real lives. But no, but they're just like awesome. They're just two dudes who they started acting. They combined DX and Wolf and NWO. So they started giving like two suites and then also telling people to suck
are
it.
Are they allowed?
Yeah. Well, actually, they got a cease and desist, which got a lot of, they sell cease and desist t-shirts that
they're,
are like,
oh, so they're kind of bad boys.
Yeah, and they make a shit ton of, they make more money than they would make in WWE. Like, they're a tag team.
Oh, so they're not in WWE.
They're not in WWE, but like,
what other fledgling wrestling networks are?
No, they're in New Japan and they wrestle independently, and also they make a lot of money. Like, I don't want to go too deep into the whole indie scene, but like, there's a show out here called, you ever heard of PWG?
No.
Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. It's essentially, it maps perfectly to like UCB in its coolest time.
Uh-huh.
You know, where it's like in this American Legion Hall in Reseda. I mean, if you ever want to go, it's.
Oh, I mean, I've seen some like, I was at some Fancy Pants party and they had like luchadors and stuff. And I know that there's other leagues out there, but I don't know what they're called. I mean, we were talking about it because I was trying to remember what league my dad loved. Because my dad.
No, you said it was AWA, which is what it is.
Yeah, it was probably AWA. It was like older guys, kind of a lot of like Jake the Snake type bodies and just tights and no alter egos, like Ken Rushmore.
Yeah.
And a lot of hip tosses, like a slam was like the pièce de resistance, kind of. A lot of clotheslines and it's. And my dad was like, now that's, he's British. He's like, that's real wrestling. WWF is fake. But it's all, I mean.
Yeah, no, I think, but your dad was actually kind of onto something. This kind of ties into what we're talking about now, which is like the independent wrestling. And by the way, New Japan is like a pretty big company. This past weekend, they did like sold out shows in Long Beach. And they had their own like.
I've heard of New Japan before.
Right. And so these guys, if you don't wrestle for WWE, then you're an independent contractor when you wrestle for a bunch of things. So these guys who wrestle for New Japan also do every show.
No other, what do you want to call it, Federation or League owns people like WWE did or WCW used to?
I think not in the same way. Some of them have like contracts that prohibit them from actually going to WWE and stuff, but like you're able to like make money on the side also. And the independent scene is like, since, I think probably you can map it right to social media. Is now like big, and you can make good money. A lot of guys make more money on the indie scene than they would in WWE.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of neat.
The point is that these guys, part of what their appeal is that they're into this like wrestling that's more called like strong style now, and like they like look like they're like these matches are like pretty fucking hardcore. And it looks like they're beating the shit out of each other.
Well, the hardcore, are you talking about hardcore stuff like what Mankind did? Which is like, he smashes his face on a bunch of nails. You're like, okay, what is this shit? Like, bless him. I mean, he put his body through a ton of stuff. He probably revolutionized a lot of things. He dissected his career. Yes, yes, yes. But that was when wrestling lost me. To be honest, when it was like Monday Night Raw, Bloodfest, I'm like, what is this stuff?
Pretty bloody.
What is this stuff?
Not like that. Not like barbed wire and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, though they probably do some of that stuff, but it's more about just like the work rate of these matches, like the intensity and athleticism.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So it's a lot of like what people get really upset about with it is some of it's like real fighting. Like some of the guys in New Japan are like just like headbutting each other. And
right. Like
really
headbutting each other. What's it? It's an MMA one. K12, K10, K9. K something.
Oh, you're talking about the
or like
the kickboxing
or like Dan Severn, which was an old MMA guy, would like go over there. Is it
K1?
K1. They had like the K1.
But so it's not as severe as K1, but it's not.
It's still scripted, but they hit each other. They'll like hit each other in a way where you're like, all right, there's no way that didn't kill. But
yeah,
then
that,
also the other part, flip side of it, is that some of it is so choreographed that it's almost like Cirque du Soleil. In a way that's like wildly impressive, like the high flyers.
Right.
And so a lot of people like your dad hate that shit.
Right. Oh, so they're just like, some acts just put on like acrobatic shows, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. But they're still.
Do they carry on narratives like they do in WWE? Because there's no televised call outs of like, hey, or do they carry it on only in the live matches? And then how do you know how are you up to date with the soap opera if you've only seen if you haven't seen a live match.
Some of it doesn't have soap opera elements. The storytelling is the match. Is that match in the ring is like that match isolated.
It's like short form.
Yeah, it's like short. Yeah, it's like short form.
Equate it to improv for me, Dan.
So
that's whose line is it anyway?
We mapped to improv recently. Like on the main, on the other show, we were mapping. Like I was explaining how it relates to improv, some of the storytelling, why I thought it was off and inconsistent and off game.
Oh,
you know?
No.
And I was like, oh no, people are gonna hate this. And then I got a lot of messages that were like, that was really helpful to explain why I didn't like that. Because you forget the concept of like game or whatever.
Oh sure.
You forget that it's like it's now in point is like really intuitive.
Yeah.
To how you tell story and how you follow funny.
But you're talking about like when there's, you know, early improviser and you're just barely learning the philosophy of it all. And you're like, oh yeah, okay. Because that's what it was like for me. I was like, you kind of have breakthrough of mental thought and you're like, okay, got it.
Yeah.
Or, and then your next class, you're like, never mind. I don't have it.
Right.
Yeah.
No, exactly. Because then, you know, you're only as good as your last moment or show or whatever. But all right, you hit on something I want to go back to is that you didn't really dig the Attitude Era.
I didn't.
Yeah, and so well, I did, hear about that.
It's not in its entirety. I did like Stone Cold. I thought he was pretty great. Attitude Era, wasn't that the era when had they already acquired WCW at that point? Like, was that also in conjunction with like Hollywood Hogan and all that?
The Attitude Era.
Was that after? Had they already
it's before it. Like during the Attitude. I mean, it's right. Yeah, it's right.
I want to make sure
it.
I get my.
Yeah, absolutely. I was gonna
right
be like, do you know what I mean by Attitude Era? Sometimes
I do.
Like,
right?
Yeah.
Isn't that Stone Cold?
It literally means when WWF's logo said Attitude underneath
it. Yeah, I know.
You know,
and that spray painty bullshit was immediately something that I kind of hated. I always thought was like, oh God, it's like they're trying to like be like, hey, 15-year-old boy, you like this, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's like, I would have liked it anyway. Why do you have to like pander to me?
Yeah, no.
Like all the suck it era is
suck it. Yeah. So and it was fun. Like obviously I'm like a, what, I don't know, 14, 15. I think I was probably eighth or ninth grade, however you are in that, like 14, 15.
Right.
A bunch of idiot teenagers running around suck it. It was pretty up my alley. Yeah. So in that respect, I was like, yeah, suck it. But all the guys who were kind of jerks and bullies loved it way more. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's probably got to be bad because they love it.
The trickle down on the nerds is like not kind.
Not kind of the second. And I was also still very nostalgic to the more ridiculous characters, which were very much out of fashion. Like, I wanted my Warrior back and I wanted Hogan back and Earthquake and Typhoon. I wanted all those kind of ridiculous characters that I love playing on WWF WrestleFest and all the other video games and all the other matches that I saw as a boy. But Dad, you know, you got to grow up. You're not Peter Pan.
Absolutely. So like, it's so funny because you're the second. That's why I wanted to ask that specifically. Is you're the second dude to come in here who had the exact same explanation of why they didn't like the Attitude Era. And the other guy was Mike Lawrence. You know Mike Lawrence?
Yeah.
So Mike Lawrence, he also was like, I was a nerd, you know? And he was like, he's like, I liked wrestling. And then all of a sudden, all the people I hated liked wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then it started being like about being a bully.
Yeah.
And that's hilarious. That's when I was the biggest into wrestling because I was
just
a jerk.
Yeah. It's just very mean spirited. Yeah. I feel like now who would be into Suck It is like Gamergate and MAGA folk.
Yeah, like
they would be like, "Oh, Suck It's the best."
Yeah, I think that,
and I probably alienated what 3/4 of your audience. I'm just kidding.
I think there's probably crossover. Let's cross over. We'll just go quick into a Verizon spot.
Yeah,
just
exactly. Brought to you by Libtard McCuck.
But yeah, I mean, I think it did. Wrestling found its attitude, right? Like it was more fun.
Yeah, and it probably needed to graduate there because, you know, it was. I mean, clearly their numbers weren't what they were in. I don't know what the strongest point was in the like classic Hogan era where they would sell out whatever, and WCW had come along. Or was coming? I can't remember. What's my chronology at this point?
Where you
WCW
at?
Is out, right?
No, WCW is going simultaneous. So WCW.
Yeah, exactly. So and they're luring Hogan and all these people and like calling them Hollywood Hogan and they're doing NWO, right? And then WWF had to be like, okay, we got to be bad too, right? Isn't that how it goes?
Yeah. So right.
So, there you go.
Like what happened was, the NWO then DX directly spawned off of that. And WWE was like, all right, here's how we're gonna do it. We're gonna go way farther than Turner, like Ted Turner's comfortable doing. You know?
I never understood why WCW gained popularity. Every time I would watch it, it always felt small. It always felt like it was in an arena of
I couldn't agree more.
2,000 max, or probably it felt like hundreds. And I always felt the ring was small. I always felt the space was small. I always thought the characters are like lame, except for Sting for some reason. I was like, because I thought Sting was like Warrior. And I was like, okay, great. That's someone I like.
Yeah.
But I always
Sting
thought
and
everyone
came
so,
up together.
What?
But yeah, no, Sting and Warrior, they actually had like a similar whatever.
I thought you said they teamed up together. I was like, when?
No. They didn't, but they like came up together with like Sting's on record as being like, when Warrior wrestled Hogan at Mania, he was like, I was so jealous. Because that was like, you know, think of someone you came up with, like that was like watching, you know what I mean? Like
that was one of the things I talked to you about. That's like one of the greatest. I'd watch it right now.
Ultimate challenge. Yeah. That was in Canada, right? That was in Toronto. I wouldn't know.
Still a boy. Still a wee boy.
Yeah, yeah. WrestleMania 6, I believe, was in Toronto at the Sky Dome. But so I'm so
I
bad.
I love that you know that. I love that you're even trying for that.
I'm 99% sure. If only you had someone in front of a computer who could verify stuff. It's too busy surfing the web.
Whoa! I just got pitted in the wave.
So, but so like, well, so you liked the wrestlers who you, my beef with WCW, just to
give
this
it
my
to
side,
me.
To, but my beef, I agree with you 100%, felt smaller. As someone who's into, part of what I love about is wrestling is the pageantry, the presentation of it. Sure. Like, I'm just like you, and I think we'll figure that out based on my next question to you, but I always hated that they couldn't filter the smoke out from the pyro.
Yeah. It always feel very smoky.
It looked like shit. It was like, it felt so shoddy.
It felt like a grade school video dance. Like, it felt like a gym that like all the kids just barely cleared out that were dancing there 20 minutes ago.
I totally agree. That's like a perfect metaphor. Like, it felt like it was like, all right, we built this thing for the big dance. Like, the
we got to use all this scaffolding.
Yeah. The principal comes in and he's like, you know, he's like, hey, Tony, the janitor, you know, actually, in my metaphor here, they're both Italian. the principal's like, hey, fucking Tony, the janitor.
The most successful American Italian school.
But he's like, can you build something? We got the spring fling coming up. The parents are complaining. Can you build something when they enter?
Yeah.
Like maybe like, I don't know, like take a piece of metal and have it be like a point and then that'll be it. Like
and
Starcade.
I also never understood why people dug the fact. For some people, it was cool that WWF wrestlers went over there. I always thought I viewed it as like a betrayal.
Demotion?
I didn't
or a betrayal.
Know a betrayal, but it wasn't because of them. It was obviously, it was like McMahon, right? Screwing them over, and then another guy being like, I won't, and I'll give you more money kind of
stuff.
Yeah,
at the time there was competition, and McMahon, you know, he's tough, and he like runs, you know, he's like, it's my way or the highway.
Yeah.
And guys were like, yo, fuck off, I don't want to do that. Yeah. And also, yeah, so
and like Razor Ramon went over and changed his ego, and I'm like,
Scott
wait.
Hall.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what? You're a Razor Ramon. What are you doing, baby?
Yeah,
you flick the toothpicks. That's your thing.
Yeah, no, I know. And so it's an example. Like you're a guy. I still have friends who text me. My friends will pop in. They watch Mania or something, and they'll just be like, what is there's not like one star here, like because they still want the wrestlers to be like characters. They still want them to be like big characters.
Well, that's
characters.
Also what I have come to understand that WWE is bigger than it ever was.
Right.
Right? As bigger. But like I don't know any of the wrestlers, and I feel like it's a lot of, I could be wrong, like a lot of John Cena's, a lot of like whatever, like Terry. It's like the AWA guys.
Right.
Slightly larger than life, but they're still very like. There's no one called like the Tempest or anything like
there's
that.
There's no big characters. I went to a house show recently as like research for this show. And some of the characters were like, one guy came out and he was like, "I love my wife," and he had like a picture of his wife on a bomber jacket, and it was the most.
I mean, couldn't you
character.
Even just give me like a Hacksaw Jim Duggan who's like, I'm a name, but I have a nickname and I got a minor shtick. That would that not even fly in WWE?
No, I mean it. They do have things like it. Like there's this guy Bray Wyatt who you might dig right now, and I think one thing you would love in wrestling, and I'm gonna show it to you, is the Matt Hardy stuff. He's the he this guy Matt Hardy. Do you remember the Hardy Bros? Hardy Brothers?
Yeah.
The Hardy Boys. The Hardy Boys. They were there was like Jeff and Matt Hardy, and they like were they're in the Attitude Era. They like had ladder matches. They were super hardcore.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You if I showed it to you, you'd be like, I remember the guys. They wore like they were like kind of goth. They were like UFO pants or whatever. They're definitely goth. They're more like ravers than goth. They had like the arm sleeves. Like arm stockings and like neon and like anyway, one of the guys is like now he's like 40 and he is just did this thing where like he's like he broke he's like he snapped and he's become
that's his story
that it's like he was Matt Hardy and then all of a sudden he just snapped and he became like he says that there's like some celestial entity inside of him and that the Matt Hardy is merely a vessel for this and he's like he calls himself Broken Matt Hardy and it's just like. He does these videos online called like the final deletion and he deletes people like you, instead of wrestling you it's like when I pin you you're deleted I capture your essence and then when he wrestles people they put like contacts in their eyes where their eyes are completely whited out they become obsolete and now their nickname is whatever their name was is gone and they become brother whatever their nickname was the middle name is what's your middle name?
Steven.
So if I was Matt Hardy, I wrestled you. You would have no eyes, and you would be Brother Steven.
and is it sticking? Is it landing?
Yeah, it's one of the. So the thing is that he was out of. It's kind of awesome. Like he was out of WWE for years.
That's great.
He was out of WWE, and then this thing became so big. WWE reacquired
them. Other wrestlers are playing along, and everyone's kind of like getting into it.
Well, it's kind of an example of the indie scene. We're talking about how with the indie scene is like, like that just it became the hottest thing in wrestling to the point where during Monday Night Raws in arenas of 30,000 people, they were all chanting, delete, delete, which is his thing. Like, delete, delete. And you couldn't ignore it. Like, you know what I mean? So they're like, what is this? And that's something I love about wrestling. It's like it's so the crowd is so alive that like there's a gladiator element where it's like, well, this is what they want, and Vince doesn't want to give it to him, and it's like, I want to push this.
It feels like an online forum come to life, and Vince is the moderator that's just tearing his hair out.
It is. It is. And then also there's a weird, like, silent majority, the vocal minority, right? Like, they, like, kind of, they infect the online socials and people's opinions to the point where it's like, all right, everyone, all right, we all want the delete. We all want the delete. It's dope. Anyway, so who's your favorite wrestler?
Of all time?
All time.
I have to say Warrior, although Hogan's very, very close.
Yeah, so I think, I think.
I mean, I have to say Warrior. I loved him as a child.
So that's, I knew you were going to say Ultimate Warrior, and he's my favorite wrestler, like, by a mile.
Right.
I mean, I was talking about Warrior the other day because this is my existence. This is what I do. Just
talk about
for
Warrior.
No reason. Just go like, you know, the Warrior's super cool. And my wife's like, are we going to dinner?
I'm like, just get ready. Get your fucking pants on.
And I'm like, the Warrior doesn't wear pants. I'm like, honey, I just want to go out in full face paint. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
She's like, third anniversary.
I thought he was the jam. He was like so. As a kid who got picked on a lot and was very, very frail, I always liked big, tough guys. Like, all my favorite movies were action movies. Schwarzenegger, Van Damme, Dolph Lundgren, everybody. JCVD. Oh, yeah, just sorry, I said Van Damme. Stallone. And in wrestling, Warrior was maybe the most juiced, ripped, fucking tank-like beast.
He's like perfect.
He was just, like, so roided out, and his energy was so insane and high, like, just everybody jokes that he was coked out. I have no idea if he actually was or not. I'm assuming so. It was the 80s. Yeah. And then his interviews were so insane. Him just talking about like going through the galaxy and snorting and just being, he was a monster, right? He was a beast.
Yeah.
And he sort of stood up for what's good because he was a good guy. But at the same time, he was also kind of a loose cannon and you couldn't trust him in a way because he was this berserker that would come in and gorilla suplex you. It was just press. He was just like, I don't know. He was so bizarre in the face paint and everything, and his like perfect like maniac 80s hair. It was awesome.
I think like his like I was saying the thing I was the comment I was making. I totally agree.
Yeah,
I think you captured it perfectly. I was like, his look right now holds up. 100%. Like, it still looks fucking awesome. If a guy like that, a wrestler came out like that tomorrow, I'd be like, let's give this guy a listen.
Let's give him a shot.
Yeah, I'd just be like, the man has the microphone. You know, like, yeah. I mean, because the thing, yeah. I remember as a kid saying a line along the lines of this, saying, his muscles look better than the other guy's muscles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, his muscles always won. He had the better muscles.
He was so vascular. Like, is that the term I want? Vascular?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, sinewy and, like, 0% body fat.
Body fat was so,
like,
low.
There were strong guys. Like, Hogan was ripped, too. He was super ripped, but there was, like,
he
a layer.
Look good.
There was
next
a layer.
Next to Hogan, he looked like shit. Next to Warrior, Hogan looked like shit.
Oh, but he was, like, he kind of always looked like your strong dad. Always. You know, as soon as whenever he was bald, I guess, since the beginning, and the mustache, he was like, that's my big, tough dad. And he'll protect me and America.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he did in whatever 91 where he fought the Sheik or whatever and ripped or Sergeant Slaughter on behalf because he turned to fight for Iraq or whatever and he ripped the Iraqi flag.
Absolutely.
In front of a screaming crowd. But so he was like proud to be an American. He was our nation's father.
Yeah, and I want to get into that match because that's the match you brought up.
Oh, I just
we
think
haven't
it's so
talked
surreal.
About
yes,
it at all
yes,
on
yes.
the podcast. But yeah, the
oh, really?
Film, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, go to Blender. But we've covered. You can see how much we've covered that, considering the fact that I have a clip that says I got a Blender. But yeah, Warrior to me was like I was my first live wrestling match. I was literally in the last row because you never forget a detail like that.
Yeah,
I went to Nassau Coliseum. You know when you're in the last row, my head's hitting the cement.
Oh yeah.
So a couple times I would bend back and be like,
"Oh, I'm at the very back."
Yeah, I'm at the back.
Did he just like splash on the scene and never stop rising? Did he kind of like enter at almost a high point? Like, how did he get introduced?
Yeah,
I don't even know the birth of Warrior.
I mean, I don't even know the legit like of it, but it was fast, and he caught on, and he was a jerk, and he was like, people didn't like him, and he couldn't wrestle, and he was just everyone was like, we like this guy. His energy was like immediately infectious,
and he ran
to the ring, 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, he started
circled the ring like four fucking times.
Yeah. Yeah. Grabbed the ropes and got his power. And like he immediately, that was one of the things where that was new. Like so many wrestling matches started out with them circling and then like the classic, like the stomp hit.
Yeah.
Like that was big and like where you're just bashing the foot down. And like the basic moves to get it going, he was immediate. Run right in the ring. And if he was allowed into the ring or whatever, just start bashing away. It was, and like fast, 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 fast.
But. Bashing away. I mean, it was so bad. Have you ever seen the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior?
No.
Dude, this is a must watch.
Okay.
All right. Like, I wouldn't recommend this. I'll send you a link to it.
Do.
So there's a documentary that WWE made about Ultimate Warrior that since they've like apologized for, it doesn't exist at all. Like, you have to find the link. The DVDs exist. And now they've rebranded Warrior since he died, and they have the Warrior Wing in the Hall of Fame, and they're always talking about like his courage, but he was like a true piece of garbage.
Really,
like,
he was a tough guy.
And this documentary they made, it's like all the wrestlers talking head style, just like walking through his career, and they're just like, this guy, I mean, nothing he said made sense. They'd be like, you wrestle me, like he would hurt me, like he would really hurt me.
Oh,
and then
no.
They show the like, clips of his matches and like. They're terrible. Like this, like as a kid, you didn't know it. You're like, that looked real. Part of what you liked is that he was really hurting the other guys. He was not a good professional wrestler.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah. But so, all right, let's get
into it. And then what is Fall from Grace, his last feud with Goldust and never, you know, what's
well, you
his
brought
name?
That
Rhodes
up.
Hated it. I saw a clip where he's like, I hated it. I saw one clip where he's like, it was a really fun character to be in, and I don't know if that was press. Or that was being honest, and another one where he's like, I got another gimmick, just like Goldust, you know, because he came on as this, like, alabaster white, like, ghost with a crazy hat. I don't know.
You're talking about Goldust when he was in WCW, and they had the thing where he floated to the ring.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about that?
Yeah, Rhodes, right?
Yeah, Rhodes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah. In this, like, sort of macabre goth outfit.
He looked kind of like Michael Myers or not like Pinhead. It was
super white. It was like Pinhead meets Hellraiser meets like Raiden or something weird like that.
Yes. And, but he was wearing like the
Underworld.
He was wearing like the Darkwing Duck hat.
It was so insane. And he just stopped and was like, "This sucks." I'm sorry.
That had to be a work, right? Like that,
I don't know.
He made what it goes like, and, here I am with another fucking stupid character gimmick.
I don't know. It was on like a YouTube like top like 10 times the wrestler
bro
character kind of thing.
I think that didn't
work. Is that
work
and a shoot?
Yeah,
am
so,
I getting my
oh,
terms
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah. So a work means it's scripted. A shoot means it's real.
Right.
So I feel like where like CM Punk, when he did the pipe bomb, which you probably don't know about, but this guy, CM Punk, he literally like just sat Indian style in 2011 Raw. He was like, his contract was up and they were like, it never happens. Vince just goes like, all right, say whatever you want. And he gets on there and he sits Indian style and literally goes like, I'm leaving next week. He spoils the main event of WrestleMania and goes, it's bullshit that Dwayne, he's talking about The Rock, he's like, is going to be in the main event. This is like 6 months before WrestleMania, and they haven't even announced it. And he's just like, and he's like, and I'd have like, he's like, I would think this company would get good, but when Vince dies, Triple H is going to take over, and he's a fucking moron. Like, he doesn't curse, but he, you know. And it made him a star because then they re-signed him and gave him everything he wanted. And it was like the best thing. But this was not that. And like audiences have this amazing ability to sniff out a work.
Yeah.
And so that never like caught on, but it is fucking hilarious. It's a great idea.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So let's get into this slaughter. Let's get into this slaughter.
Slaughter Hogan. Yeah.
Slaughter Hogan, WrestleMania 7 at 1991 at Los Angeles Memorial.
The beginning of the of Iraq
arena.
One.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Right in the heat of it.
So, the thing about this match is I rewatched it, and I texted you right away because I rewatched it, because no one ever really brings it up for some reason. Like, it doesn't come up here.
It's a decent match. The match like, is... the crowd is super into it.
Yeah.
It's just, what takes place at the beginning of it is something that just couldn't happen right now, at least maybe on these indie leagues you keep talking about. But
I don't think even there they would rip the flag.
Right. I mean, the setup being Sergeant Slaughter was a good guy. He was Sergeant Slaughter kind of based on the G.I. Joe, I think.
Of
like a rootin' tootin' American sort of drill sergeant, Sergeant Slaughter.
Right. And he'd been that character for years already.
He was a good guy, but a tough guy. And then he got seduced by the Iron Sheik to like join the nefarious like Muslim Brotherhood or some shit.
So what happened was that Sergeant Slaughter was out of WWF.
Uh-huh.
For 5 years in the AWA.
Ah, the so old hip toss.
Yeah, your dad's watching
him regime.
Perfect the hip toss. And your dad's like, what are you watching over there, Warrior?
With his gorilla, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
See a real man for a real man by his hip.
You got to see this guy, General Slaughter. Used to be Sergeant Slaughter. Can't go by that because it's owned by the WWF.
Promoted.
And look at him. He looks like a large lemon. And so he comes in back, and when he comes back, he announces that he's now an Iraqi sympathizer and a follower of Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
And he revealed that he had an alliance with an Iraqi military leader named General Adnan, who became his advisor.
Fuck off. I mean, not only is like he quote unquote the bad guy, he's like a turncoat. He's like a U.S.
Absolutely. He's a traitor.
He's what's his name in the War of Independence. Paul Revere.
But Paul Revere didn't turn on us.
No, he's the good guy. He's the messenger.
You're struggling with your American history.
I'm Canadian.
You're Canadian. Oh,
who's
my God.
The turncoat? Who's the notorious turncoat?
Benedict Arnold.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about Nathan Hale. I don't know. I'm just throwing out names I remember.
Nathan Fielder.
Who's Nathan Hale?
Nathan Fielder. What?
Nathan Fielder. Yeah. That guy's funny.
I went to school with him.
He's Canadian as well. Nathan. Yes. Yo, he's funny.
Very, very hilarious.
I was at a party he was at, and from across like a very far away, you could hear his voice, and it wasn't loud.
No,
some people just have.
No, he's just okay. He's that in real life.
Like,
he's so
it was
funny,
like haunting me. Like I was like, what is it? Do I have like a schizo voice that's Nathan Fielder in my head?
That would
just
strange.
Telling me a funny story about like hot dogs.
He's never changed octaves. He's had the same, like even in speech.
Yeah,
it just doesn't.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to Iraq. Yeah. So, Iraq
he's
won.
He's
the good Iraq.
He's a turncoat, and he's been seduced by Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein comes back, and when he comes back, this is exactly coinciding with Desert Storm.
Yep.
So, like, it is crazy to think today, could they have worked an angle? Could you work right now an angle of, like, I don't know, what would it be?
Could
now?
You have, like, Private Rickerson, who's, like, a good... Oh. His whole thing is, like, he's a U.S. Army, like, Navy SEAL. He comes out in, like, the U.S. Army gray, you know, shirt, rips it off, and he, like, has this rock wrestling boxing technique,
right.
Like, all-American. And then he sympathizes with Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, right.
And like joins like El Alil, you know, fucking Taliban, and then Hogan has to fight him. It would be outrage
from
the beginning.
This is untouchable.
Yeah. I would even say, I mean, it seems inflammatory, sir. Yeah.
Absolutely. I often think about, like, could they get away with any kind of Trump gimmick, kind of it. I'm not saying it has to be like
Johnny Border Patrol or like
ICE,
Mr. Build the Wall. Yeah, ICE. He's just called ICE. Comes in with those like very shiny sunglasses that you can't see anyone's eyes.
Yeah,
in.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm gonna cool you immigrants out the building.
Yeah, yeah. And his special move is the wall. He's gotta build it. He's building the wall.
He's got the cement. The cement makes it. Just give it 20 minutes.
Oh, he's sending out the drones, Mean Gene. He's giving them the drone strike.
Oh, no, but it's the Dreamers. That's the Dreamers.
He can't touch the Dreamers.
Legally, he can't touch the Dreamers. That's a hot topic right now. Anyway.
He's got a feud with, you know, I don't know, but some... A Mexican drug lord of some kind.
Yeah, like, oh, it's Beto.
It's Beto. It's Pepe.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So anyway.
Yeah. And then the beginning of the match, he comes in. He's waving the American flag. I am a real American.
So just to set it up, Ultimate Warrior has the belt at this point. Leading up to this match, Ultimate Warrior has the belt and set.
Hogan is doing this in order to get contention.
No, Hogan's not even involved in this. This is what I think is interesting. I'm backtracking for a second. It's not like that juicy, but it's pretty spicy.
not juicy, but it's spicy.
It's not juicy, but it's spicy. You guys check your. You guys know how the tongue works, right? Because all my metaphors are tongue related.
Yeah, and they're ranked.
Yeah, absolutely.
So juicy is above spicy for you.
Absolutely. Juicy, spicy.
Okay.
Bitter is. I don't know.
You don't want it.
I'll work it in. So, all right. So, Savage, Slaughter gets a match with Warrior. Actually, Macho Man is trying to get the belt from Warrior, and Warrior keeps nagging him. And then eventually has a match with Slaughter. And then Slaughter cheats to win. Okay. So then, anyway, Slaughter becomes the champion. So going into this match, Sergeant Slaughter is the champion.
Not the, there's like the IFC. And
no, he's the world champion, the heavyweight champion.
Okay. Sergeant Slaughter, the turncoat, is the world heavyweight
champion.
Warrior
won. This is coming after WrestleMania 6, which was Hogan Warrior.
Okay.
And Warrior won the belt, and he also had the IC belt, but he had to relinquish the Intercontinental belt.
Okay.
So now he's the champion.
It the IFC. I just remembered. I call it
the IFC channel. That's who that is. That's the Intercontinental Champion. Every time I turn on that belt, I'm like, why am I seeing Fred Armisen and Bill Hader in a mockumentary? I'm trying to see IC matches. Anyway, so,
All right.
So Slaughter, he has the belt. Hogan is not even involved in any of this, but. Where's the
So
example?
How does Hogan get mixed up in this freedom?
That's what I want to read, but the toner on my printer is so fucking low that I can't even...
Yourself a laser. It'll last a lot longer.
Well, I don't have that Verizon money.
Well, you
okay,
spend
right
the money
now,
up front and you save the money on the back end. I'm talking thousands
like
of dollars
in
ink.
Watching AWA. But essentially, what happens is that I'll just improvise it. But essentially, Hogan, he just is completely involved in his own feud at the Royal Rumble. He catches wind of the fact that Slaughter is an Iraqi sympathizer. And that he's desecrated the flag. Like, he's not even involved. And he's just Mr. America.
Yeah.
And
it's just like, that's in the song.
Whatever's happening, it doesn't matter. I just heard about something that needs my attention.
He's the superhero.
And he challenges him to a match at WrestleMania.
Ah.
Okay, or I don't know what's set up. And then we get to this match, which is the two of them. And it's kind of amazing because Sergeant Slaughter is like, even at that time, like, kind of fat. Like, he's not
He made a good heel. I mean, boy, people really did not like him. I mean, if you want to be the bad guy, you turn, right? Yeah. That's the thing.
Oh, I found it. Hogan promised. He goes, okay. So during the Hogan wins a match against Earthquake. Hogan wins the Royal Rumble.
Earthquake was so dangerous at that point. You never wanted to go up against him.
Absolutely not. Hogan wins the Royal Rumble.
I never saw Royal Rumble, by the way. It was always something, this unattainable thing that maybe a friend had on VHS.
Right, it was so hard to watch.
It was so hard. I know, especially if you weren't allowed pay-per-view like me. So I've never seen a classic Royal. It was it's things that I've always dreamt of and like heard about. It. Like, the legends are true, really? Like, all those wrestlers? It was something I played in WWF WrestleFest, and that was how I... Go ahead.
We got to get into WrestleFest, too. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about that quick.
Whatever.
He's giving his interview. I kind of covered it, but he's in the middle of an interview with Mean Gene. And during the interview, Hogan catches wind of the fact that Slaughter is... It's almost like he smelled it.
Yeah.
That, like, him and General Adnan are facing a flag. And he's, you know what I mean? It's just like, almost just like... you know, like when like Yoda like is like walking, he'll like walk with his cane. All of a sudden, he just stops and his ears go down.
Yeah.
Has this been a disturbance in the force?
I wonder if whoever, I don't know the guy's name. I wonder if whoever played Sergeant Slaughter, I wonder what he thought of the whole thing.
I think at the time they're like, "Heat, heat, baby!" Like, it was less of a sensitive time.
I'm not even suggesting that now he should look back on it in shame. I just wonder if, like, they're sitting around being like, okay, here's the thing.
No.
You fuck up the American flag and you come out with the Iraqi one. And he's like, I don't know, man. I built my whole life on being the American hero. Or if he's like, yeah, that'd be great. They'll go nuts.
No, I think he's like, that's a great angle.
Yeah.
I honestly think these guys are just like, they're trained. From the times I talked to
him, he looked more
wrestlers.
Like a cop than Bossman. Bossman was a decent looking cop, but Sergeant Slaughter, if he put on the Bossman's outfit, I'd be like, now that's a cop.
Bossman reeked of security guard.
he really did. He looked like a nerdy guy that kind of hit the gym a little bit.
Yeah. a little too much security guard than cop. You know what I mean? But actually, I look like a cop, okay?
Right. Nowadays, Bossman goes home and is just like, I just want to be nice to people.
If I'm a wrestler right now, I'd be called the modern cop. The current day cop. Or I'd be the NYP douche. You got a ticket for being dope.
Stay in the bike lanes.
Yeah. Oh.
All right.
Everyone in Dan's world
is
Italian.
Yeah. I'm parking my Camaro in the bike lane. Deal with it. Anyway, okay. So this match, the thing about the match is that the thing that I completely forgot is that Hogan is like in a gas mask.
Is he? At one point. No, he doesn't start out with it, does he?
In the beginning of the match, first off, they set off like a smoke... I have to rewatch it, but they set off like a smoke bomb to start the match. And then they're like... the whole time, he's in like military... he's in like a camo.
Hogan is.
Yeah. What are they called? What is it called?
Camouflage.
Fatigues. Yeah. He's wearing fatigues.
Ah.
And he keeps it the whole time, except in the back, it has like the classic Hogan rips.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks fucking... He looks like a badass. If you go back and watch it, you're like, that.
Now that's
almost like
look.
The start of the Hollywood Hogan look.
Yeah, right.
And it looks really good. Sweet. All right, for time's sake, I want to move on, and I want to talk to you about a couple wrestlers that you dig, that I also dig, and video games. So that's the three things we'll cover.
Okay.
Bushwhackers.
I love them.
Yeah.
I have one very particular, and I think they did this a lot, but one memory that just really stuck with me as a boy, it must have been on Saturday Night Main Event, or so anything that I could have watched on just normal television. They're coming to the ring, doing their thing, stomping around, being bushwhackers. And at one point, they pass this father and son, a little blonde boy, much like myself, but a little bit younger. And they grab, one of them grabs the boy's head physically with his hands and licks the entirety of his face from chin to temple.
Oh my God.
With his tongue. And as the bushwhackers are like, that's standard behavior. And then they keep bushwhacking back to the ring. And as the camera follows them, you just catch a piece of the kid going, like crying, like making like, I'm about to lose my mind. And then I'm like, oh, fuck, my kid's crying. It was so incredible. And apparently, like, I was trying to find that clip online because I thought that might be weird. That would be a favorite of the internet. I couldn't find it. But apparently there's a couple forum posts of like, so who are the bushwhackers? Do they really just go around licking kids' faces and stuff? And so I think they maybe did it a bunch. They were like, they're Australians.
They were weird with their tongues. Yeah. Australians, so they're weird
with
their
tongues. Well, they licked each other's heads. They would, like, after a match, they'd lick their sweat off each other and stuff. They're like, their whole thing is like, we're grimy.
When I was a kid, I was obsessed with the bushwhackers.
They were super weird.
I loved them. I loved the
stomping around.
Yeah, I loved it.
My dad loved them too. That was when he was starting to maybe like eye the WWE as like maybe a fun time.
Right.
And he'd always stomp around the house being like, I'm a bushwhacker's home, look.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. Then you brought up Hacksaw Jim Duggan. So the thing about Hacksaw Jim Duggan, he's great. The one thing I couldn't find is why he carries a 2x4.
Hacksaw, maybe? I don't know.
I guess I didn't even put that together for my whole life.
Just lumber in general?
Because it's like a lumber thing?
I guess.
I guess it was because he carries an American flag. It's like, is there something about just like wood being all American? Do we have any
other countries have it.
Yeah.
He's the hacksaw. He cuts the wood.
That's
his. It's probably just hacksaw. It's like, because you cut wood. That's it.
Maybe.
I can't believe I didn't
put
that together.
It was a decent look. Like a blue, one blue singlet. Oh, no. One blue, just undies.
Why wouldn't
American
he have a hacksaw?
Because that's a weapon, sir.
Yeah. So it was a 2x4.
You're right. Yeah, he was a good dude. He was super positive. That's why I liked him. I was like, he seems like a nice guy. He seems like maybe a loose cannon, but like a good dude.
Yeah, he was. I remember in 91 when I was in that back row bashing my head against the thing. That's actually what I was saying. I saw a Warrior wrestle and Undertaker put him in a body bag and I cried.
I remember that.
My parents are moving out of my childhood home right now and like they sent me a flip, you know, like one of those photo albums from my throwaway camera. Uh-huh. And it's like if it was a flip book, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could flip it and just see the progression of Warrior, like getting knocked out, getting tombstone, then he gets tombstone, then the body bag comes out, then he's in the body bag and it gets zipped and like that, you know?
Uh-huh.
And you can just see it. Like, I must just be like, no!
No!
Just like hitting this button, just like, and like, crink, 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 crink. Like, just like, I got every second of it. You know what I mean?
It is interesting when, I mean, I don't have a specific memory like that, but just a general emotional memory of when you're a kid and you see your favorite guy get hurt or lose a match and you're like, no, you're like devastated.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I can't believe it.
And that's the thing. That's how I knew Warrior was my favorite wrestler, is because how affected I was by him losing that match. I was like, I'm sure he's going to win, you know?
Yeah. He's back, baby. Yeah.
My dad, it's so funny to compare our dads, because like your dad was like into the wrestling. My dad like never understood wrestling. Like he still to this day watches because it's so important to me.
Oh, that's
and
sweet.
And you tell that he doesn't get it at all. He's a sports guy, but like the things he latches onto are like Paul Bearer, like to this day.
Oh,
it's
Paul
just
Bearer.
Like,
Undertaker.
And he'll just be like, I'll be like, Undertaker's probably going against Cena at Mania this year. And he'll just be like,
Undertaker's still wrestling.
Oh my God. So Undertaker retired last year.
Oh.
He retired last year. Roman Reigns, this guy, this new guy, sucks. You don't need to know anything about him.
Oh, he's actually is living on, but a new man.
No. This guy, Roman Reigns, like beat him in a match. And then at the end of the match, Undertaker like took his hat off, took off his gloves, and like put it all, folded it in the ring, and walked out. You know, like it was like, he's like, I'm done. And then this year, John Cena is like every week calling him out, and he's not showing up. But like, we know he's going to wrestle again.
Oh, that's great.
And it's going to be a week from Sunday, WrestleMania
in
New Orleans.
Is John Cena a face or a heel?
He's always a face, but he transcends it. John Cena is John Cena. He's right. Like, you know, the face of WWE, you know? So last thing we'll cover, and then I will let you go.
Oh, okay.
Wrestling.
Oh, this is great. This is a trip down memory lane.
Absolutely.
I
had a great time. I'm bummed to end it. You know,
it can't be a 2-hour podcast.
It can't be 2-hour, but I always just want to. I have a hard time like getting out of here. But then I realized, like, all right, I gotta let guests go. I gotta let them go. They're gonna smile at me because they like me and they want to be nice to me. But inside, I know how the inside voice works. They want to go.
I've still got more memories to cover. But what's okay. the big one?
Anyway,
now?
No. But you're a big video game guy.
Love
I know
video
that.
Games. Yeah.
So I'm curious how wrestling video games factors in. I know you mentioned WrestleFest.
I played a bunch of them. Two of them stick out. WCW Nitro stuck out because that was a four-player game, and you could make your own wrestler, and so we would spend hours.
NWO. WCW Nitro Revenge NWO.
I'm not
sure. On N64, right?
N64.
That's known as, like, the best wrestling
game. Oh, okay. So, it was the first time I really clued into the Wolfpack theme song, because when you selected them, it would kind of play it in that, like, 32-bit or 64-bit sort of, like, playback, and it's, don't turn your back on the wolf pack, or you might end up in a body bag. Which is like, oh, that's rhyme adjacent. Good job.
That is true, because that's how it goes, but it also goes, don't turn your back on the wolf pack. Don't turn your back on the wolf pack. And then it does it again. Don't turn your back on the wolf pack. And then it goes, you might end up in a body bag. Like, it's like
you really built it up.
It's leading
like,
up to this thing that's, I mean, not a slant rhyme at all. It's just not a rhyme.
Yeah, we would always like pitch alts like, or you might end up with no nut sack, or like anything, or like you might end up in my backpack. Like we were just like, come on, there's got to be some more.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, we liked that one. That kept us up all night. But earlier, as a boy, there was an arcade down my street, like back when there were arcades. And WrestleFest, WWF WrestleFest was part of it. And it was all coinciding with all my favorite wrestlers. And I was like, I got $5 allowance. And I go down there and spend it all on one Saturday. And it was, you could do singles matches. I still remember the theme song. You could do the Royal Rumble, and you could do a tag team match where you'd pick two wrestlers. And there's like four controllers, so you could really get your friends involved. Yeah. Of course, I had zero friends that would go to the arcade with me. Other than the older kids that stole my money. They were pals. Anyway, or you could do the tag team match and try to work your way up to Legion of Doom. And it was such, I love the art style. It's like the perfect era of 2D sprites and simple controls. But like you pick up a modern wrestling thing, game, and there's like all these, it's like a Street Fighter game. There's all these combos. As soon as you're in the grapple, it's just all these combos to do. And there's so much stuff. There wasn't in that game. There's like punch, kick, you win the grapple, and then you maybe have two or three options. Right. And then you can get on the turnbuckle. Like it was dynamic enough to make, like lots of things can happen. But the control scheme, nice and simple. It's perfect.
Yeah. Totally. I don't remember. I remember what game you're talking about, the WrestleFest one, because it's like, it's the one. Like the one that was in the arcade. And I always loved it.
Yeah.
It was just two buttons and the joystick.
And the joystick.
Right?
There were a couple ones that WWF Raw maybe or something where Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo that kind of made it where I think Bret Hart was available and stuff.
The Genesis one I did
and
not
one,
dig.
There was a one era where like Doink the Clown was in it and the moves when you hit them, like the Undertaker, you'd hit them and like coffins and bats would fly out. And it was like, oh my, there's way too much. This is trash.
Yeah.
But WWF WrestleFest, it's good. They should do Fire Pro. What is it? Fire Pro Wrestling? I don't know. There's an indie game where you kind of create your own wrestlers, and there's a million different combinations and stuff. They should make that, but exclusively for a WrestleFest type control scheme.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I think that like right now, like 2K18, like all the big one, the wrestling games. Now, like that to me, I'm like I stay away from them because they just seem so overwhelming. There's like so much going on, like where they hit that sweet spot with does N64, and I want to be I want to say like, oh, I'm just like, you know, getting older and I like the stuff I liked during my impressionable years or whatever. But also like there is a thing where it was like that was like four. You could play four players. You sat together.
Yeah.
And
I don't think modern wrestling games get good reviews, though. Like, I don't think you're like you're some outlier by being like, I like wrestling, but the games aren't that good. Like, I think they're pretty hit and miss. Like they've had I don't really pay attention to the reviews, but I know that they don't always land.
Yeah, I think that,
and you know, you got to have a game with Mr. Perfect in there, and all you know that Earthquake's in there. You know, that's a good game.
Those are
yo.
Good times. Thomas, we're gonna end it.
Okay.
Is there anything else about wrestling that is just like it's like you're gonna go
so
home
much.
And you're gonna be no? I
we
mean,
didn't talk about my dad when he came to the one pay-per-view I bought. with my friends and everything. We the got story that I was had to tell you.
Your big moment of having the pay-per-view?
Yeah, yeah. Oh my dad lost it, but I want. I mean, that'll have
you
to
wanna
be
You want
to
squeeze it in, or you want to wait for the
sequel?
Because now you're setting up for the sequel where you're going to get texts from me, and you're like, uh-oh, I got to go back.
I'll come back again. We'll just have to remind me to tell that story. But
that's great.
It's a humdinger.
I want to show you. I think if you're open to it, I want to show you the Macho. I want to show you the Ultimate Warrior DVD.
Yeah.
That I think you'll love.
Sure, yeah. Give me the link.
I think I want to show you what Matt Hardy's up to, that deletion stuff.
Okay.
And then we'll talk more about the stuff that we didn't cover.
All right.
The next time.
You can educate me on new school WWE.
And I want to show you. I think you would dig some of the new stuff. And plus, you live out here, and like some of these shows, like.
Do they go at Staples or like what arenas play at?
Yeah, they do at Staples too. We can go to WWE and .
Oh, you're talking about the indie leagues.
But I think like PWG, I think you would dig what's going on at this stuff. It's like the equivalent of like when you walked into like UCB for the first time or whatever, maybe in Chicago, like Second City or something. That's more
and
polished.
You're like, these guys are doing it,
and you're like, this place looks like shit. It's leaking. I think shit just leaked on my head, and then the show starts, and then you're like, is that Amy Poehler? You know what I mean? You're like, what? Like, you like literally see like big wrestling talent here, and all they're plucking this show. Like, the next big wrestlers are like at this show, and they're wrestling. If you do the math, they have to be making under $500 to be doing this show, and they're like flipping and like hitting the ceiling. It's crazy.
That's what I saw. I was at the Fancy Pants party that I was talking about, where I saw the Luchador. It was like at a private party with a bunch of rich assholes in like Napa. And I was like, I'm there for a film. So I'm like, okay, that's why I'm here. And I guess other people are there. And suddenly this very elaborate Luchador match. And I was loving it. I was screaming my goddamn guts out.
Do you know anything about what it was?
I don't know any of the names. But it was great. They were doing the stories and they were going through the audience and stuff. And a lot of people were like, oh, what are these guys doing here? Anyway. Anyway, so I'm getting represented now, and like just like hell. And I was like, don't you see what you're watching?
Freaks. You're trying to enjoy it. Yeah. And like people are trying to network with you and shit. And you're like, come on. I have a thing where I respect performance so much.
They're laying it all out there.
And it drives me nuts. Like I literally I'll be sweating. Open mics, and I'm like, why are you talking to me? Yeah. Like there's somebody with a microphone. When I go to like workout classes, people are like walking out during the stretch part,
and I'm like, that's part of the show.
And I'm like, this person's like, they're literally doing, they're going, enjoy your day. Like they're trying to cool you down. Sometimes they tell like little like stories to like inspire you, and people are just like, yep, I'm done. Fucking bye.
Stretch is for pussies.
Yeah. Anyway, Thomas, hey, everyone. If you dug this interview with Thomas, and I did, I had a great time.
One of the
you
best,
can support the show.
Best of the interview of 2K18, some people are saying.
Absolutely. It's better than 2K18. The reviews are in. IGN.com is giving this a better. IGN.com.
GameSpot, back in the game.
GameSpot.net.
Blues News. Turns out Blues News has got a big resurgence.
You can support this show on patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. You can pick up a t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/comedians of wrestling. And also, just share the show with a friend if you dig what's happening here. The more you support the show, the more output we put out, the more I can entice amazing guests like Thomas to come in here. I go, look at the numbers, baby.
Oh,
all right.
Snap into a Verizon. Unlimited data. The greatest, largest, most reliable 4G LTE.
Got a blender.
Thomas, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Kisses.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.